Welcome to the session. My name is Mike Batista. I'm a program manager on the Windows Developer Platform team.
I'm Josh Weber. I'm a program manager with the Mobile Center team. I'd like to thank you guys all for coming to join us here on the last session of this great Build conference.
And Josh will be joining us a bit later to cover the efficient DevOps portion of the session. So it's the last day of Build. We've all heard a lot about the great innovations happening in UWP and the Windows Store. But you might be wondering, what about .NET line of business applications that aren't distributed through the store? How can we modernize those apps, and can we do that without having to abandon our existing investments? Now, if you saw the day two keynote, you'll know that being able to move forward at your own pace and maximizing reuse of your existing investments were two key themes. We're going to expand on those themes in this session and go into a bit more detail on the various patterns and practices you can use to modernize your apps. And along the way, we'll shed some light on some of the areas where we are investing to make it easier for you to move forward. So why modernize? What's the motivation here? Well, first, you can deliver more engaging, productive, and secure experiences by taking advantage of platform innovations in a modern operating system like Windows 10. You can extend to new platforms and keep your users engaged and productive on whatever devices they prefer. And finally, modernizing your apps isn't just about lighting up new functionality and extending to new platforms. It's also about modernizing your development lifecycle so that you can deliver higher quality apps more consistently and at a faster pace. And Josh will show us a lot about that a bit later. So with these themes in mind, the agenda for today will be to take an existing WinForms application, onboard it to the desktop bridge, light up some new functionality on Windows 10, extend to new platforms with Xamarin, and then modernize our DevOps with VS Mobile Center. So let me show you our base project. You've probably read what's on the screen by now. So it's a basic WinForms application powered by our trusty Northwind database. And you can see it's just a bunch of data grids, you know, some data-bound data grid view controls with master details. And we have the ability to place a new order with this data entry form. So the first step we're going to do is onboard it to the desktop bridge. So you can see our solution here. This is our existing WinForms project. And you can see next to it, we have a packaging project. The desktop bridge basically amounts to a sister project in your solution that you can arrive at in multiple ways. It's possible to set this up in Visual Studio manually. And we also have some great tools like the Desktop App Converter and third-party solutions, if you're using a third-party solution to generate your installer. And you can see if I set it as my default startup project, and I launch from Visual Studio. You can see that the same exact application is running in the context of an application package. And you can't tell just by looking at the app because it really is the same app. But you can tell the icon's different at the bottom. This is the default icon for an application package. Now, why are we talking about the desktop bridge if we don't distribute our apps through the store? A lot of people think that the desktop bridge is only valuable if you distribute your app through the store. But actually, there's a lot of value you can get out of it even if you don't. First, it enables you to call modern platform APIs that require package identity. Second, it enables you to add modern app model components to your apps, things like background tasks and app services. And it also, because it gives us an application package, it enables us to use application packages for deployment. And we'll talk about some of the improvements coming there that will make it a viable deployment pipeline for the enterprise. And to be clear, when you onboard to the desktop bridge, it's still possible to run as a full trust app with the same access to the system that you have today outside of any app containers. It really is the same exact application with some benefits that we've shown you here. So I showed you the desktop bridge in Visual Studio. And if you do this in Visual Studio today, it's a bit manual. You have to manually tweak a few files. It's not great. But Visual Studio is actually planning to deliver a packaging wizard in Visual Studio so that with just a few clicks, you can take your existing applications and onboard it to the desktop bridge really easily. As I mentioned, we have a tool called the Desktop App Converter that can take your existing installer and generate this project for you. And that tool is getting better every day. We have great third-party solution integration. And not only are we investing in making it easy for you to onboard to the bridge and reducing the investment required, but we also want to maximize the return. And one of the areas where we are investing is making application package deployment better than click once for line of business application distribution in the enterprise. Now, there's a session linked at the bottom that talks all about the innovations happening in package deployment. So I advise you to take a look at that if you're interested. But to summarize, we are adding install from web support for application packages. So the same support that you get from Windows Store apps today, you know, they automatically update in the background silently. We'll be bringing that technology to application packages that are deployed offline. And one of the changes that I'm excited about is, you know, how many times have we all tried to get something done in a click once application and you launch the app and an app update triggers and it's very disruptive and it gets in your way. So having the ability to automatically update in the background will be a big win, both keep your users engaged and to reduce the disruption to your users using your apps. And another benefit of application packages that a lot of people don't know about is that it supports block level updates, which means if you have a large application and you need to push an update down to it, it actually will only push down the parts of the application that changed. And this will help speed up update time and further reduce disruption to your users. So now that we've onboarded to the desktop bridge, let's light up some functionality on Windows 10. So we're going to demonstrate a few features here, but really the focus is on the patterns that we're demonstrating. The first pattern that we're going to demonstrate is improving support for new hardware. Then we're going to innovate with some modern WinRT APIs, and I'll show you how to do that. And then finally, we'll show some service integration with Cortana. There are a lot of great opportunities available to you to modernize your apps, and these are three classes of changes you might want to make when doing that. So I'm going to switch back over to Visual Studio. Now, the first change we're going to make is support for new hardware, and we're going to use high DPI to demonstrate that. So if any of you saw the .NET talk on day one, one of the first things they showed was their demo project and how horrible it looked before it supported high DPI. And if you're not familiar with high DPI issues, this is basically where you have a high DPI device like a Surface Book or a Surface Pro, and you're interfacing with other screens that are of a different device, different DPI. And this can happen when you're dragging windows across monitors, or if you dock and undock, or if you remote in from a high DPI device to another device with a different DPI. Things will just look off, basically. Things will be scaled incorrectly sometimes. Text will be blurry. So the platform team has been doing a lot of work to make it easy for you to add high DPI support to your applications. And there are a few changes you need to make to opt into some of those changes. The first that was shown on the day one in the day one demo is making sure that you target the latest version of .NET Framework, which I've done here. And the other couple of changes that weren't mentioned but are important are in your application manifest, there is a element here to declare support for Windows 10. This is just one of the switches that the platform requires to opt you into that functionality. And finally, there is a setting in the application config file. You can see here DPI awareness per monitor v2. And by setting these three flags, by flipping these switches, you actually get a lot of support for free. A lot of the controls that will be drawn by the platform will just automatically deliver high DPI support for you. Things like non-client area now with the latest changes, also you'll get for free. And if you need to make further changes, say you have some custom drawing scenarios, or maybe you want to change the source of your images when the DPI changes, .NET Framework 4.7, one of the changes that it gets you is it actually unlocks events that you can connect to respond to DPI changes and make the necessary changes. I've actually done that here. I've done a simple change. So basically, I'm centering my table layout panel. My new order form had a table layout. And I do that when the form loads, but also I can wire up this DPI changed event and then make whatever changes I need to further improve this level of support in my applications. So that's the first type of change you can make to improve support for new hardware. So now I'm going to show some examples of how to call WinRT APIs and the types of things that you can light up by using WinRT APIs. So let me show you what that looks like first. And then we'll talk about how to accomplish that. So I'm going to click the Save button. And you can see that I've received a notification from the system letting me know that the save was successful. This is an example of using Toast notifications, which is a popular WinRT API. Now, to accomplish this, the code is pretty easy. So if I open up my main form, you can see that here's the handler for that save button. So after I make the call to the database to save my changes, I'm calling this function showToastNotification, which is down here. And it's really simple to, with a few lines of code, pass in a message and have the system display the notifications for me. Now, the second demo I'm going to show you actually doesn't work, and I'll explain why I'm showing it anyway in a second. So sometimes with line of business applications, you have sensitive operations, things like maybe protecting a purchase workflow or guarding sensitive data. So in our scenario, we want to guard against people deleting data directly from the database. You know, these data grids are data bound to the database, so any user can come in here and delete a row, and then if they make a mistake, then you lose a bunch of data. So I've deleted some rows, and I have a check in my app that if the rows are deleted, I want to prompt for consent. Now, this is going to fail, and I'm showing this because this is an example of an API that doesn't work today in desktop applications, but that we're adding support for. We definitely want to make it possible, more and more possible, for you to take advantage of platform functionality to bring your apps forward at your own pace. And if you hit this, as you get further down this path, if you hit errors like this, if you find an exception or an API behaving badly, definitely provide feedback to us. You can vote on our user voice site. And we regularly monitor that feedback, and we can use that to prioritize fixing the APIs that are broken. So let me show you the code that would have shown this working. So again, here's my save handler. So I'm confirming consent from the user. And basically, I'm detecting if there are any deletes. And then what I'm doing is I'm using Windows Hello to prompt for consent using the biometric subsystem on the device. And you can see with a few lines of code, it's actually pretty easy to get this set up. I can check for availability of the subsystem. And if it's there, I can request verification, pass in a custom message. And I actually have an example. I've mocked this up to show you what it would look like if it did work. So I've deleted a row. I'm going to click the save button. And then once the API is fixed, here is the consent dialog that Windows Hello can provide to you. And you can see that the camera recognizes me based on my credentials and my face. And the custom message that I provided is embedded in the consent prompt. And I can very easily click OK to allow the operation or click cancel to reject the changes. Now, how do I get access to these APIs? I've shown you some code, but is it just as easy as file new project, start writing a bunch of WinRT code? So there are some references you need to add, and because this is an important part of the pattern, I do want to spend a minute explaining it to you so that you know how to do it on your own. So you can see in my project here, references. I'm going to highlight the references that you need, and then I'll show you where in the file system they are. So you can see here, I'm just going to highlight all these that are relevant, and then I'll explain them. So first and foremost, you need the contract WinMDs that contain the APIs you want to call. And you can see the contract WinMDs right here. I've got the foundation contract and the universal API contract. And for a given API, the contract that it's in is well documented on MSDN. So if you just did that and you tried to build, you'll get some errors. Things like async and other just kind of glue components won't work. So to satisfy those dependencies, we can add these Windows runtime related .NET assemblies. And if you just stop there, you'd still get some errors. There are some dependencies in those libraries that you need to satisfy, and we can do that with the facade windows.winmd right here. And let me show you where in the file system these are, because this is important for you if you plan to take this path in the future. So you can see, for the contract WinMDs, if you have the Windows SDK installed, you can see I'm in the program files, Windows kits, 10 references, and then the version of the SDK that I have installed. And you can see that there's a folder per contract WinMD. And you can see if I navigate into the Universal API contract, you can find the WinMDs for that contract further below. So that's the first set of changes. The second set of references you need are the .NET assemblies that I showed. And you can see, again, if you have the Windows SDK installed, there are .NET assemblies here. And the Windows runtime assemblies, if you scroll down, they all exist in here. You can see there's the XAML assembly, the runtime, Windows runtime assembly, and then the interop services assembly. And finally, the last reference I showed, just to make sure for completeness, again, with the Windows SDK installed, you can see that Windows Kits 10 Unit Metadata Facade, there's a Windows.WinMD file here that will satisfy some of the dependencies that those .NET assemblies have. Now, this is less than ideal. Obviously, navigating the file system and having to manually add a bunch of references isn't great. The Desktop Bridge team does maintain some helper libraries to make things like adding these references easier. So there was a dedicated Desktop Bridge session earlier in the week that you can take a look at, and they'll have more details. And we're actually working with the tools team with Visual Studio to see about how we can improve adding these references for you in the tools themselves so you don't have to think about these references anymore. So we've shown some support for new hardware. We've shown some support for WinRT APIs. Now I'm going to show some Cortana integration and some service integration, and we'll use Cortana and Cortana skills to show that. So let me show you what that looks like first. Tell Northwind to start a new order.
Okay, look at that.
That worked good. So what just happened? So I asked Cortana politely to start a new order for me, and Cortana opened my existing WinForms application and then deep linked into the new order experience. And this is all using the new Cortana skills framework that we announced this week. And let me show you a bit about how to set this up. This is a great example of how to get great service integration. So let me start with the service. So this is an Azure App Service project. And don't get too distracted by most of what you see here. A lot of this you can get set up pretty quickly with the templates. So the important thing to note here is this class that I have shown on the screen. So we're actually using natural language processing in this example. Lewis is our natural language processing service. And what it allows you to do is to allow the user to speak naturally, and then Lewis can actually figure out the user's intent based on the phrases that you've registered and the natural language that the user's spoken. And because we're using Lewis, we actually get a rich object model that will let us both recognize the intent easily and extract any entities or variables in the utterance that the user may have spoken. For instance, if I had said, start a new order for Mike or start a new order for Josh, Mike and Josh in that scenario are customers. So you could imagine registering a customer entity and then having Lewis provide you that customer if it recognizes it. So you can see it's really easy to set up. So I have specific functions mapped to specific user intents. And this is all provided by the Lewis and Cortana bot framework SDK. And you can see if the service doesn't recognize the intent, we have this function here. But if we do recognize an intent, in this case, the intent that we demonstrated was start new order. So this function here is the response to that request from Cortana. And because the experience we wanted to deliver is deep linking into the application, we're going to build an activation URI and then send that activation URI back down to the client so that Cortana can deep link into the application. So you can see we're in this function, so we know the user's intent was to start a new order. We start building our activation URI, and you can see that we have registered for the Northwind protocol or scheme. And if we had uttered customers, again, Lewis provides a great object model to be able to extract those entities from the phrase without having to manually parse any text or any JSON. So you can see if I find a customer, I could easily append it to the activation URI. And then I simply just create a JSON object response, set the action type to launch URI, and then I send the activation URI back down to the client. So once Cortana gets that, she needs to deep link into the app. She has an activation URI with the Northwind protocol. So we need to register for the Northwind protocol and add that support and add deep link support into our existing WinForms app. So if I go back to our original project, now, if you register a scheme handler like this today, it's a bit manual. I believe you have to modify make some changes to the registry. So in this case, we're actually going to use the Desktop Bridge project that we created initially, and use the application manifest that it provides to easily register for a protocol handler. And you can see if I open the package manifest, I can go over to declarations, and you can see pretty easily I can register for the Northwind protocol here just with this graphical manifest editor. Now, once I have that, that's enough for Cortana to be able to deep link into the application, to launch the application, sorry. To deep link into it, we need to add a little bit of support to our application. So on the main form, when you're activated by an activation URI, the activation URI is actually passed in as a command line parameter. So what we can do is on the page load, we can extract the command line args, detect if there was an activation URI passed in, do some basic processing on it, and extract the intent that we had provided. And then you can see if we recognize that the intent was start new order. I'm cheating a little bit here, and I'm just simulating the user clicking on the new order button. And then after the page is shown, we'll deep link into and launch the new order form. So just to show you again how that looks, tell Northwind to start a new order. So Cortana is connecting to the service. Lewis is extracting the intent. We generate the activation URI, send it back down to the client, and you can see the app launching and deep linking into the new order form. And this is all using the Cortana skills framework and the bot framework. And there have been many sessions this week on Lewis and the bot framework. So if this is interesting to you, definitely check those out. So these are just a few examples of the types of light up you can do on Windows 10, improve support for new hardware, light up new functionality with WinRT APIs, and some service integration with Cortana. I've provided some links here for you for convenience to explore and discover new APIs and services that you can light up. And if you still care about Windows 7, which a lot of people do, and you want to maintain down-level compatibility, my code is Windows 10 specific, but it's definitely possible to maintain one code base that works across both. And you can accomplish that with a combination of runtime checks and or conditional compilation. The same techniques that you use today still apply here. Now, what about modernizing your UI? So we've added a bunch of features and services, but what about all the modern controls and modern design that you've heard about this week? How can we incorporate that into our apps? And can we do that without having to abandon all of our existing UI? It's a bit of a shortcoming today in our story to be able to move forward at your own pace. Either you have to migrate everything forward, which is painful and often not possible, or you basically can't move anything, and that's not a good place to be. So the Windows UI team has been thinking about this, and we want to make this better. So what we see here, this is a WPF app, and it looks like a pretty normal WPF app, but what's interesting about this app is that this whole subsection of the app is actually a modern user control embedded inside the application. And you can tell that it's modern. You can see that the text boxes provide some modern affordances, like an Xbox to clear the content. And this rectangle at the bottom is actually an ink canvas, a modern ink canvas, so we can, it's hard to write at this angle. So what could this mean for you? Well, this means that if you have a favorite control that you've seen, or you want to take advantage of some of the fluent design that you've heard about this week, this technology could enable you to embed that inside your application while retaining the rest of the surrounding UI that you've invested so heavily in over the years. And how might this work? Well, we don't have any code to show today because this is very much a prototype and the team is in very early design thinking about this area. But as WinForms and WPF developers, if you're familiar with WinForms and WPF interop today, like WinForms host and Element host, you can imagine this being something like that, where you can encapsulate a user control that has a lot of modern functionality in it, and then set it as a child of a container, and then place that container anywhere you like in the application. And the Windows UI team that had a session yesterday, they showed a little bit more about this, so definitely take a look at the XAML UI, Windows UI session to get more details. And this is, as I mentioned, this is a prototype, and there's very early design discussions happening in this area. So if you'd like to see this become a reality, or otherwise would like to participate in the design discussions happening in this area, be sure to vote on our XAML User Voice site. This link will take you directly to the item tracking this feature. And if Twitter is your thing, you can also tweet at the Windows UI team, hashtag XAML and Win32, They definitely like to hear about the types of scenarios that you'd like to light up and can use that feedback to help make sure that they're building the right technology. So we've lit up new functionality. Now let's explore extending to new platforms with Xamarin. So why do we care about new platforms? Well, workforce is becoming increasingly mobile and cloud connected, and especially with companies supporting BYOD, bring your own device, there's going to be an expectation that you can deliver great experiences for your users on whatever devices they prefer. Now, it doesn't make a lot of sense to bring a bunch of data grid views like you saw in my demo app to a mobile device, a vibrant screen, but the idea is to bring the optimized experiences that your users expect when they're on those devices. So in our scenario, we're going to explore bringing that new order form that I showed and porting it to Xamarin and getting cross-platform support for that. Now, there's been a lot of coverage of Xamarin, so I'm sure a lot of you have heard of it already. But the interesting news is that it will be compatible with XAML standard. You might have heard about that, which means it will enable you to, if you're a WPF developer especially, reuse more and more of your existing XAML as that spec develops. And it will also be compatible with .NET standard 2.0, which will make it easier for us to reuse our existing business and data logic. So let me show you what that looks like. Let me show you the end result. And then we'll explore a bit about how to set that up. So we've got the Android emulator here. And you can see I've got this little Northwind mobile app deployed to the emulator already. So I'm going to launch that. And you can see basically what looks like the same new order form, same experience. And we have our customers populated here from the database and our products as well. And it's, you know, it's the experience that your users are comfortable with already on desktop. And we've got it running on Android in the emulator. And with Xamarin, this could be running on iOS, or you could take the universal application that it gives you and run on even more Windows devices. So if you haven't done this before, this might seem a little bit overwhelming. You know, I'm a C# developer. I've been working on Windows for a while. Now you're running on Android. How does that work? So let me actually show you how we can accomplish that. It's actually not too difficult. So the first step, there are three changes we need to make to actually get to the emulator experience that I showed you. So first, we need to add the Xamarin projects to our solution. Then we need to build up our view for Xamarin using Xamarin Forms. And then once we do that, we need to connect our view to our database. So here is our existing Northwind app. I'm going to open that solution again. So if you've been following Xamarin this week, this shouldn't be new to you, but just to show it quickly, if you have the Xamarin workload installed in Visual Studio 2017, there's a cross-platform template that's easy for you to take advantage of. And if you select it, it'll ask you a few questions. And in this case, it provides a master detail template, which is a common pattern for line of business applications. And you can see that we're using Xamarin Forms, which means we can use XAML-esque UI framework. And based on the code sharing strategy, we're going to choose a shared project in this case. And I've already done this, so I'm going to cancel out of this, but really it's that easy to get started. And if I switch over to this other solution, now you can see here is the same solution with our existing projects here. And you can see now that we actually have a few additional projects now in our solution. So you can see we have platform-specific projects that Xamarin generated for us. We've got a UWP app, an iOS app, and an Android project. And Northwind Mobile is that shared project that we asked Xamarin to set up for us. And these platform-specific projects are basically native projects. And with a shared project, this allows us to write our views and our view models and our models once and host them in one place and share them across various platforms. So the first step, now that we have the projects established in our solution, let's work on setting up the view. So Xamarin Forms is like XAML, and it will become even more like XAML when it supports XAML standard. So in our WinForms project, we basically had a table layout, and we placed some labels and some controls. And if you're a WPF developer, I'm assuming this all looks very familiar to you. If you're a WinForms developer and you haven't used XAML before, basically we have a grid, which is the equivalent of the table, and we're connecting some labels and some controls, some pickers and some labels and things. And you can see this is the grid layout with some labels on the left column and the controls that we're using on the right. So it wasn't too complicated to take our existing view that we already designed and then migrate it to Xamarin Forms. Now, the second step is actually wiring this up to our data. And you can see just quickly that the two pickers that I showed you, so we have a customer picker and a product picker, we need to connect these to our data. And you can see that I'm using data binding to bind to a customer's property and a product's property. So we need to update our view model to populate these lists with the data that we get back from our database. So how can we do that? And I don't want to have to rewrite a bunch of code. I already have, my database that I'm using in my original project was a data set that Visual Studio generated for me. It uses ADO.NET, it uses SQL client. I want to be able to reuse that even running on Xamarin. So fortunately, .NET Standard 2.0 exists, and with its expanded API surface, it supports things like ADO.NET, and it will support things like SQL client, which will be built on top of it. So let me show you how we can take our existing data set and data layer code and migrate it to or incorporate it into our Xamarin project, and then how to use that to connect the view to the data. So the first step is to add a shared .NET Standard project to our solution. And this is a preview. That's not right. Now, the .NET Standard tooling is in preview. It was just released this week. So if you haven't seen it before, basically there is a .NET Standard category here. So you can click on this and add it to your solution. I've done that already. So this Northwind Core project is my shared .NET Standard 2.0 library. And you can see that it's targeting .NET Standard 2.0. Now, in my original WinForms project, I mentioned I'm using a data set. So you can see this is the code that Visual Studio generated for me that I've been using to connect my WinForms app to my database. And you can see, I'm just going to scroll through this quickly. There's a lot of ADO.NET code in here, SQL transactions, SQL data adapters. There's a lot of code in here that I would not want to have to rewrite to target Xamarin. So really, all I have to do is just copy or drag these files into my Northwind Core project, which I've done already. And you can see that it's compiling, which is a good start. So this is all made possible by .NET Standard 2.0 and its expanded API surface and support for SQL Client, which is coming. SQL Client, the SQL team, will be building a NuGet package that's built on top of .NET Standard, which means we can reference that in a shared project and then get access to SQL Client across platforms. And you can see that all this code that I just showed you is all compiling and available to us. And by adding a reference to it from our Android project, which is the project we're using to demo, you can see Northwind Core is a reference. I've added a reference to our Northwind Core shared project. And now all of my existing ADO.NET and SQL Client dataset code is available to me to use in my Android app. So if you remember, in our view, we need to set up our view model to populate the customers and products lists with the data from our database. So I'm actually going to go into the view model for this page, and you can see that I've got a couple of properties here, customers and products that I need to populate. And really, you can see here's my Northwind data set, which is this is all coming from that shared project. I'm using the strongly typed data set that Visual Studio had generated for me, so I get strongly typed table adapters for customers and products and orders. And you can see in my view model, I'm just initializing all these things. Basically, the same as that code that I'm using in my WinForms app, I'm now using in my Xamarin project. And you can see I'm just filling my data set with the data from the customers table and the products table. And then when I assign the data to these properties, data binding takes over and that data becomes available to our application. And you can see here, in action, you can see the customers are coming out of the database and the products are coming out of the database. And if I were to submit an order, you can see basically the same code that I'm using in my WinForms project. This is all the same exact code. If this were more than a demo app or if this were a production quality app, I'm sure you could figure out better ways to refactor your code so it's not duplicated in two places. But this is, to write a few lines of code here and not have to write all that ADO.NET code and all that SQL client code is a huge time saver. That's all made possible by .NET Standard 2.0. So really with those three steps, just adding the Xamarin project, building a basic view with Xamarin Forms, and then reusing our existing data and business logic from .NET Standard, it really was that simple to get running on cross-platform. So just a few slides here that I'm going to rifle through just to reiterate the talking points. So as you heard, XAML standard will make it really easy for you to reuse existing WPF XAML if you have it. The value there will be, you know, if you remember the Xamarin Forms code I showed, some of the controls names and attribute names that you saw might have looked unfamiliar to you if you're a WPF developer. So XAML standard will help solve that problem. .NET standard, as I mentioned, lots of benefits there. And one thing to mention is that the improved tooling of .NET standard 2.0, you know, .NET standard has been around for a little bit, but 2.0 provides great tooling so that all the open source libraries out there that are API compatible with .NET standard that might not have retargeted yet, all those libraries that are API compatible can be used by your shared project just by adding a reference. And the tooling makes that possible without having to wait for the ecosystem to catch up. Now, I'm not going to demo this, but as you saw this week, Project Roam is a key technology to enable you to bring continuity of experience across devices. You know, we've done all this work to port to new devices with Xamarin, and we've reused a bunch of code, but now you might want to take it a step further and enable continuity of experience across devices. Let your users start on a phone and continue on a PC or vice versa. And Project Roam will enable that. There's been lots of coverage in the keynotes. There are a few dedicated sessions this week that if you didn't get a chance to catch, I advise you take a look, and I've linked to one here below on the slide. And one thing that hasn't been mentioned, as far as I can tell this week, but there are SDKs available for Windows and iOS now and Android, but the team is actually working on a .NET standard compatible SDK, which means the pattern we just showed about being able to reuse code and have it in one place and share it across platforms, with the new SDK that's in progress, you'll be able to write to one set of APIs with full feature parity that can work across platforms. That'll be a great way for you to enable continuity of experience across devices. So we've come a long way. We've onboarded to the desktop bridge. We've lit up some new functionality. We've extended to new platforms with Xamarin. Now, as promised, Josh is going to explore some Mobile Center.
Thanks a lot, Mike. That was great. Anyone here predict the ability? Yeah. Anyone else predict the ability to take a WinForms 8.0.NET SQL client and run it on Android? Or Cortana project and call into some WinForms code. That's pretty exciting stuff. Anyone here working on WinForms or WPF that actually predates the whole word DevOps? Yeah, a couple of you. How about this? Anybody working on some legacy code that predates the word Agile? There you go. So we talk about these DevOps, this new motion, continuous integration, Some of us are working on code bases that are even older than that. And so what we're going to talk about here is how Visual Mobile Center can help you. And I'm going to quote my friend here, Donovan, sprinkle some DevOps onto your project. Maybe modernize a little bit, not just modernizing your actual application code, like Mike just showed us, but also modernizing your application lifecycle, your actual software engineering practices that go around your project. And so I'm here today to talk about VS Mobile Center. I'm on the Visual Studio Mobile Center team. The Visual Mobile Center product is in preview. It's launched back in November, and we're still in preview. We've gotten a lot of announcements this week. While it is in preview, it's not actually what I would call a brand new product. What we're actually doing is bringing together a lot of existing products that some of you may have used. So has anyone here used a Hockey app, or at least familiar with it? There's a couple of folks. How about things like Xamarin Insights or Xamarin Test Cloud? Some things like Azure Mobile Engagement. And so the Mobile Center offering is under the concept that bringing all of these tools together will enable you to have one stop where you can create your entire DevOps pipeline, whether that's things like build for a new service that we have, all the way through distribution, doing testing, including things beyond the application delivery pipeline, things like continuous monitoring, doing crash analytics, and user behavior tracking. And so when we take a look at just a kind of a quick overview, you can see how Mobile Center takes all of these different tasks. These are tasks that everyone eventually comes to in their application, trying to do these different services, and brings them under one umbrella product with a single consistent experience that makes it very easy to integrate all of these services into your application lifecycle. And finally, we did do a session yesterday, a full session on Mobile Center. If any of you guys were able to miss that, I do recommend you check it out. We did do a couple of announcements, so I just wanted to cover real quick some of the announcements about the new things that we're bringing to Mobile Center as part of the Build conference. One of that is support for Windows apps. And so you can do Desktop Bridge and UWP apps in that. That especially includes the build service, where we do a full cloud-based build that I'll show off here in a few minutes. In addition to that, we've integrated, for some of you who maybe are doing some of this line of business app development, we're also coming soon with some support for Microsoft Intune, basically allowing you to automate all the way through that build and distribute pipeline all the way into your final destination if you're using something like an Intune MDM company portal distribution technique. We also announced that we're going to support Windows devices coming later this year. I believe the target is the fall of this year. And so we're going to be able to bring that same test cloud service that we have, supporting real hardware devices in the data center, running your UI tests for both iOS and Android. That's also going to support Windows devices coming very soon. And as the last thing, we also announced that we're going to support certificate-free application distribution. So for those of you who have done distribution using APEX packages, certificate management can be difficult. And so we're going to actually show off a little bit of a technique of how to automate that so that you no longer have to worry about a lot of the certificate management hassle when doing a distribution through Mobile Center. And so let's go ahead and swap over to a demo. Can you hit six?
Yep.
There we go. So this is the Mobile Center dashboard. I already have created an application here to do a demo. We're actually taking that same WinPF code that's been basically packaged into a desktop bridge app to show off the example. And so we'll drive in here to the Northwind product. And if you notice on the side here, you do see all of the services that are offered through the Mobile Center product. And I wanted to pause here a little bit to talk about these services that we followed the Unix interoperable tool philosophy here. And so every one of the items that you see on the left are totally independent of the rest of the services. So of course we want to say that you should use all of our services and we have the best solution for everything. And if you put them all together, it's a great thing. But never are you ever expected or required to do that. Every one of these services can be independently used. If you have something for this already, like you already have CI set up, you already have a testing solution or distribution, it's very easy to integrate those with this system and take just the pieces that you actually find value here. Supporting that story is also the fact that everything that I'm going to show off here has a publicly documented API and actually is backed by a Swagger file, making it very easy to generate automation code to integrate with anything that I show off here today. So to start out with, I'm going to start with build. This is actually one of my most exciting features for Mobile Center. Anybody here have a... I was actually in a podcast yesterday, and they asked me, what's your least favorite part of continuous integration and continuous delivery? And it took me no time at all. I instantly knew the answer to that. It's, I hate setup. I spend so much of my time doing setup. You get a new project, you get a new idea, you start to do some delivery, and then you're like, oh, I should set up CI or CD, and then you're installing agents, you gotta get the build tool chain right. Somebody upgrades a tool chain, like there's a new version of Xcode or say, something like that. You gotta go and install the updates. Everything breaks. You don't know why it breaks, and it does. I've spent many days, full days of my work life, fixing CI/CD systems. So I was curious, like for those of you who have set up a CI and CD, who's taken more than an hour to set it up? It's only a couple of hands. I don't know if I believe that. How about more than a day? Anyone spent more than a day? Anybody spent more than a week? I feel for you. I really do. It's really terrible. So you guys can actually time me. So I'm going to set up a CI/CD system all the way from a repository with no configuration up to doing a build, and you guys can actually see how long it takes me here to do it on stage. So Mobile Center really starts at your repository. You simply tell it where your repository lives. In this case, I actually have a GitHub repository set up with my code. You'll notice that it goes out to GitHub and automatically uses my credentials to pull in all of the repositories that I have access to. And so here I can see the Northwind repository. All we do is simply click on that, and then it's going to go out there and search to locate every branch within that repository automatically. And so in this case, I have the master branch. I'm going to do my builds off master, so I simply click into branch, and I set up a build off of that branch. So I clicked through, and it happened really fast, but what actually happened is that we went out, we analyzed that repository, and we pulled all of the build configuration information from your repository directly in here. So if you notice, it automatically detected that my Northwind solution file, it automatically pulled in all of the configuration options that were set up in my my solution for my build. So let's just say we want to do a release. And then it also automatically detected all of the platform options that I have. So in this case, we'll go ahead and do the three full platform builds. And then once again, we wouldn't have a CI if you didn't have the ability to do this on every single push and do that automatic build for every push. We have this newest feature, which is to automatically increment your version number. Pretty exciting feature, asked for a lot. And then finally, it's not just building our application, but also signing and distributing our application. And so here, doing a signed build is no different than simply selecting a certificate off of this not super great resolutioned package. And then I simply give it the password. And that's all that's needed in order to produce a signed build. I'm actually going to turn that off for now. And then we're also going to be able to distribute. And you'll notice here that we can actually automate the distribution. So not only are we going to build our package, but we're actually going to distribute that into people's hands so they can directly install that. And I'll show off the distribution experience here in a little bit as well. And that's actually all that it takes. So I actually slowed down to explain all of the configuration options. When it comes down to it, it's really just a few clicks to do a setup for that. Significantly less than a day or a week, hopefully less than maybe that hour that it takes some of you. And I'm not actually going to wait for this build because it does take a few minutes. So I'm going to continue on to some of the other features that you get through Mobile Center. So coming up next is really distribution. So distribution is all about managing the set of users who have access to this app. So when you look at client applications, it can be quite difficult to get people to beta test them because they don't have access to them. So a lot of people will do things like mailing around emails with the files attached or having a shared network path where people can log in and get access to the latest builds. But Mobile Center helps to automate this whole process by actually showing, allowing you to create new groups of users, really representing the people who are going to have access to that, and then really automating the ability to actually do a distribution. So doing a distribution is as simple as linking it to the automated build system that I showed up, or we can go ahead and do it manually by simply selecting an AppX bundle. We can type in a little message to our users. It'll let us know that it's going to distribute to a few users, and that's all it takes. We simply click distribute. And that package is actually sent out to our users, who then get basically a notification email. That notification email provides them a single install link that they're able to navigate to. And so if we look into my email, you'll see that you got a release notification that has a very easy details link that you can simply click into to follow to that actual build. And I'll actually show off the installation experience as well. So here we'll go into the application and reload. To follow this link, the link ends up on this page showing off that latest application build. And then you can simply install by clicking the install button. This installation goes out, reaches, pulls down that AppX bundle, and does a download, in which case you can simply click, single click. It'll ask you that your protection, so you'll say run anyway. And then it pulls up that AppX bundle installer. To do the installation, you simply click install. And it actually stops because of a certificate. Once again, I mentioned that certificate issue. And so I'm going to show you guys the temporary workaround today, but I wanted to reemphasize the fact that we're addressing this problem very, very shortly. And so what we're going to do is we're going to automate the signing process so that you can opt in to a certificate that is actually maintained by the Mobile Center team. That certificate will be a root chain certificate so that all apps distributed through Mobile Center will be scanned and then distributed with a signed certificate owned by us. And what that'll do is that'll automate this process. So you won't need to do a self-signed certificate. You won't need to distribute your test certificates to your clients. Instead, you'll just be able to click the experience here and actually do the installation. And I'll show you guys a little bit of the workaround here before we get into it. So if we go into that actual package and we go into my downloads, and you see, if you actually come down here, I don't know if you guys know this, but you can actually go in here to the properties, and that certificate is actually installed with the AppX bundle. And so if you go into digital signatures, you can see the certificate there. You can go into view certificate, and then simply install the certificate, which will allow you. There's a couple of tricks when you're doing the installation of the certificate to make sure that it ends up in the right location. So make sure you check out the local machine, and then place the certificate in the Trusted People folder. And once we're finished, the import was successful. And then the next time we click that and click on install, our installation completes automatically. So even with a self-signed certificate for a short time, and then very soon this is going to get much, much better, allowing you to basically have this two-click install experience where you click the install, download the AppX bundle, and then use this nice installation experience for your packages. And once again, if we click the launch button, oh, I'm not sure. Well, my demo maybe failed there a little bit. But we actually show off the demo that Mike was actually showing us off on the thing. So coming back to Mobile Center, I wanted to show off two more things. So I do talk a lot about the installation and the distribution, that continuous integration, continuous deployment. It's something that I'm really excited about. I tend to be really passionate about getting software into my customers' hands. It's the delivery is actually my favorite part of being a software developer. But the closing of that life cycle is really continuous monitoring. It's not enough to just get your application into your customer's hands. You really need to be monitoring the experience that they go through so that you can feed that information back into your development loop to do that. And so two of the analytics features that I'd like to show off is first crashes. And so we did announce support for crashes coming very shortly. This has actually been done in partnership with the Windows Error Reporting team. So most crash collection is done at the app level, where you integrate an SDK, and the SDK collects crashes through like an unhandled exception handler. But we've actually done more than that and have extended this to a partnership with the Windows operating system itself through Windows Error Reporting. And there's some advantages that we get there that you can't get through app-level crash management. And that's things like being able to collect suspends or hangs of your application, where the application process has simply halted and no longer able to be collected. And so we're showing off here some of the examples of how you can actually collect some of that rich sets of data. So here you can see in this demo application, we have 1.4, I believe, million crashes that have happened over the last 30 days. You can notice that we do a little bit of a heuristic to group those crashes on both the stack trace and the cause of the crash to find out how frequently they've happened. And then if you drill into them, you can actually get some additional details where you can actually see the full stack trace of the application, and then some statistics about how often this specific crash has been happening out there in the wild. In addition to that, showing some information like the most affected device or what operating system this application has been crashing on, in addition to diving into the specific reports from every crash that happens, no matter where it is. And finally, to wrap up here, I'll show off some analytics data. So we'll start out on analytics. This is actually that same application that Mike was doing. And so I just ran it locally. So you'll see a couple of sessions from a couple of test devices. You'll be able to see things like active users. You can also see things like daily sessions and the total session duration that's been computed. You can also see that I happen to have two test devices here, a Surface Book and a Surface Pro 4. And if you scroll down, you'll see things like the geo distribution and the active devices per region. This is all basically collected by our SDK automatically. So the integration here was simply to add a NuGet package, add one line of code to my app constructor, and all this data was automatically collected. In addition to this automatic collection of application data, we also have the ability to collect custom events. I actually really like custom event data because I'm very data-driven when I try to make decisions about my applications. And custom event telemetry allows me to track any user behavior or any application behavior independently and really see what the impact was. And so I actually instrumented the app to show when the new order creation form was completed. I actually fire an event to show every new order that was created. And so here you can see some basic statistics like the overall count and the number of users who have triggered this. And then you can actually log down and actually see not just the count of users and the counts per session, but actually there were some custom properties that are also drilled onto there. So I actually also included some custom event telemetry to show what type of item was added to the order and the actual creation account for that order by. And so here you see these additional statistics being collected on these properties around the created by and the product type that was ordered. So let's swap back to the PowerPoint. So that's just a quick demo of the Mobile Center product and how it can help to modernize your application lifecycle development practice. It's totally free, so there, I would say, very low barriers to getting started. Once again, I showed you guys can just click a few clicks, start doing a build, drag and drop an AppX bundle, do a distribution, very, very easy. You can check it out at aka.ms/mobilecenter.signup to get started. And then let's hand it back to Mike to do a little
some
of our stuff.
It's good stuff. So we're going to wrap up here. We've accomplished a lot. So what we showed was just a few examples of how you can take your existing .NET line of business applications and move them forward at your own pace. So the high-level calls to action are, you know, use the patterns and practices that we've demonstrated today and apply them to whatever features you care about and services you care about to deliver more engaging, productive, and secure experiences. Consider Xamarin as a means to reach new platforms. Explore Mobile Center, as Josh just showed you. And we haven't spent a lot of time talking about UWP or the Windows Store in this session, but everything that we have talked about, while it does add value to you today, is accrues value toward that future. And it will, everything that you invest in today will pay dividends going forward. If you decide you want to monetize and distribute through the store, the desktop bridge and the pattern to call WinRT APIs will get you most of the way there. And if you become ready to make the leap to a pure universal Windows application, XAML standard, .NET standard, and everything else that we've talked about will just further get you closer to that goal. So more specifically, so I provided some links here for your convenience. Some areas where we're looking for feedback from you, the modern controls, XAML and Win32, remember, so vote if you care about that feature, you want to see that become a reality. Vote on the XAML user voice site. You can also tweet at the Windows UI team. XAML standard is being developed in the open on GitHub, so this link will take you to the GitHub repository where that spec is being designed. So if you want to make sure that the XAML features you care about are included in that spec, please visit that repository and add some comments. Visual Studio released their preview, so if you want to play with .NET Standard 2.0 tooling that we showed, go download that. And finally, as Josh mentioned, Visual Studio Mobile Center is free for you to try out.
And you guys should really check out this slide. I mean, some of the stuff that we've showed off here is open to feedback. You guys should really engage, provide that feedback, utilize the resources that you gave. We just gave you like kind of a quick snack pack of all these different features, but you should really follow up and try and get a little bit deeper onto some of this information.
And this was a very broad session. So there have been a lot of more dedicated sessions throughout the week. There were links scattered like Easter eggs throughout the presentation. I've consolidated them all here on one slide. So if you saw something interesting and you want to get more details from the team themselves and go on dig in a little deeper, here are the links you can visit. It looks like people are taking pictures, so I'll leave it on the screen for a second.
Yeah, I like to see the picture taken. That's nice.
Everybody good? Okay. So please complete an evaluation if you can. We appreciate the feedback so we can make these sessions better next year. And with that, we'll end the session. And if you have questions, feel free to ask.